A lot of people really have peace in their hearts, but they don't show it. Instead, they just go to war as the government tells them.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
We must not merely end with a concern about Vietnam, for I'm reminded that Vietnam and that conflict and our involvement happens to be symptomatic of a deeper malady in the American spirit. In 1957, a sensitive American official overseas said that it seemed to him that our nation was on the wrong side of a world revolution. Increasingly by choice or by accident, this is a role our nation has taken. The role of those who make peaceful revolutions impossible by refusing to give up the privileges and the pleasures that comes from the immense profits of overseas investments. Now, I'm convinced that if we are to get on the right side of the world revolution, we as a nation must undergo a radical revolution of values. We must rapidly begin to shift from a thing-oriented society to a person-oriented society when machines and computers, profit motives, and property rights are considered more important than people. The giant triplets of racism, militarism, and economic exploitation are incapable of being conquered. A true revolution of values will soon cause us to question the fairness and justice of many of our present policies. On the one hand, we are called to play the Good Samaritan on life's roadside, but that will be only an initial act. One day we must come to see that the whole Jericho Road must be changed so that men and women will not be constantly beaten and robbed as they make their journey on life's highway. True compassion is more than flinging a coin to a beggar. A true revolution of values will soon look uneasily on the glaring contrast of poverty and wealth. With righteous indignation, it will look across the seas and see individual capitalists of the West investing huge sums of money in Asia, Africa, and South America, only to take the profits out with no concern for the social betterment of the countries and say this is not just. It will look at our alliance with the landed gentry of Latin America and say this is not just. Western arrogance of feeling that it has everything to teach others and nothing to learn from them is not just. A true revolution of values will lay hands on the world order and say of war, this way of settling differences is not just. This business of burning human beings with napalm, filling our nation's homes and with orphans and widows, of injecting poisonous drugs of hate into the veins of peoples normally humane, of sending men home from dark and bloody battlefields, physically handicapped and psychologically deranged, cannot be reconciled with wisdom, justice, and love.
Holy, 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 holy. The world is holy, the soul is holy, the skin is holy, the nose is holy, the tongue and cock and hand and asshole holy. Everything is holy, everybody's holy, everywhere is holy. Every day is an eternity, every man's an angel. The bum is holy as a seraphim. The madman is holy as you, my soul, are holy. The typewriter is holy, the poem is holy, the voice is holy. The hearers are holy, the ecstasy is holy. Holy Peter, holy Alan, holy Solomon, holy Kerouac. Holy Hunky, Holy Burroughs, Holy Cassidy, Holy the unknown buggered and suffering beggars, Holy the hideous human angels, Holy my mother in the insane asylum, Holy the cocks of the grandfathers of Kansas, Holy the groaning saxophone, Holy the bop apocalypse, Holy the jazz bands, marijuana, hipsters, peace, and junk and drums. Holy the solitudes of skyscrapers and pavements. Holy the cafeterias filled with the millions. Holy the mysterious rivers of tears under the streets. Holy the lone juggernaut. Holy the vast lamb of the middle class. Holy the crazy shepherds of rebellion. Who digs Los Angeles is Los Angeles. Holy New York, holy San Francisco, holy Peoria and Seattle, holy Paris, holy Tangiers, holy Moscow, holy Istanbul. Holy time in eternity, holy eternity in time, holy the clocks in space, holy the fourth dimension, holy the fifth international, holy the angel in Moloch. Holy the sea, holy the desert, holy the railroad, holy the locomotive, holy the visions, holy the hallucinations, holy the miracles, holy the eyeball, holy the abyss, holy forgiveness, mercy, charity, faith, holy hours, bodies, suffering, magnanimity, holy the supernatural, extra brilliant, intelligent kindness of the soul.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
My name's Evelina, and I think peace is a very, very special thing to lots of people, but they just don't admit it. Although they don't admit it, you can probably tell that they want it. It's the governments that want to go to war, not the people of our world. Only a few. They say they don't like war sometimes, but they still go. In lots of people's hearts, they want to go to peace. But they go to war anyway. People are strong enough to say, I don't want to go to war. A lot of people really have peace in their hearts, but they don't show it. Instead, they just go to war, as the government tells them. The peace camp was very fun. I made a picture. I made a paper airplane. I was given a paper crane and a little paper crane and a big paper crane and a paper cup made by hand. Stone and me had a fun time exploring and having fun. And making tricks. And I did a little band. I tried to make a... And we made a little band in the tent. We were banging on drums, making tunes.
Did you go to any demonstrations or anything about that?
Well, I'm going to go to a big, huge one in Ottawa. And I went to a huge one in Toronto. The pity was, everyone was chanting, George Bush, we know you, Daddy was a killer too. But I was singing. No one even acted like they heard me. It's probably because it was too many people chanted to hear anyone that's actually saints, which is more peace-like than chanting like they do in the war. We should sing, we should demonstrate, and we should block no warplanes, but sing.
And we're at McMaster University in the Student Center at the McMaster Peace Village. We are in one of our tents because since we're staying here 24 hours a day, we need some tents to sleep in. And so we've set up two that people can stay in at night or hide in during the day if they want to. We moved in at 7 a.m. in the morning on Thursday. And we've been here, there have been people in the village 24 hours since then. There's a lot of students and community members around Hamilton wondering what they could do to oppose the war, because it just seems like nobody can do anything. So it sometimes seems like you don't know what to do. And so we thought that setting up a place where McMaster students and community could come by and talk about the war, find out what's happening, and find out what they can do would be a really effective way of helping people remember that there's a war on and that it's going 24 hours a day. One of the big things that we want to get out of it is to organize events and let people know about other events that have already been organized that we can help advertise for it. And so there was a march that started from here and went down and met up with some other marches in Hamilton yesterday, where lots of other activities and peace actions that are happening, everything from going out to meet Bush when he comes in May, to teach-ins, to prayers for peace. We're advertising and trying to plan out of the village. The reaction has been amazing. I really, in no way did I realize what a positive and necessary action this would be. The number of people who have come up to me and said, thank you so much for doing this. This has really made my day. People who are saying, well, you know, I have an hour right now. I'd really love to come and sit with you and just spend some time in a positive space instead of being so down about CNN reporting how many people are dead and how many bombs exploded last night. Instead, to being able to say, this is what's going wrong, and here's some people that you can help think of what we can do about it, or here's some people that you can sit silently with or talk with. And so we've had a broadly positive response. It's going to stay up as long as it needs to, as long as the people of Iraq are living in fear of of the bombs falling on them, we're going to be at the McMaster Student Center in our Peace Village promoting peace and nonviolent responses to conflict.
So what's your name?
Claire. We're at the Peace Village at McMaster. Cool. I've been here on and off since Thursday. I think it's an amazing thing that we're doing, and I mean, it's a very personal thing in some ways because it's very therapeutic for me to be here and to be with people who are feeling really overwhelmed and terrified as I am, and also to be able to provide support to other people. Like, people have stopped by and said, my housemates are driving me crazy, they're all for the war, and I really need somewhere to go. Is it okay if I hang out for a while? And, like, things like that make it really worthwhile because you know that you're really providing a space for people where they feel free to come and feel comfortable and safe and share ideas. So here we have all of our information. So a lot of things that we've gotten off the web and different things from the OPERG Iraq Working Group and different sources. People have come and just dropped by and brought information. So it's about what we're about and things that people here have written, and also different sources of information on the background of what's going on in Iraq and on like news updates and kind of trying to provide all the information that people might be looking for. Well, we have a lot of primary documents, so like UN reports and things like that, where people can kind of come to their own conclusions and have a look at it and not have the analysis done for them already. Like, for instance, this is the reality of war. We bomb, they suffer. So obviously things that you wouldn't see on CNN, it's more like we bomb, we win there. So, and I guess like political cartoons and Why Iraq, Why Now, which is a little pamphlet that somebody wrote about what's going on, why the focus is on Iraq, and just general questions that people have, the common questions that come up. Okay, so here we have signs that people have been making all through the week and banners that people have brought in, and just kind of information on events that are going on and what we're all about and a schedule for people hanging out here, and just to make sure that there are people here all the time. Our guidelines for this space, which is how we want to treat each other when we're here. Our guidelines for this space are no physical violence, no verbal violence, helpful listening, no drugs, no alcohol, and no weapons. Respect other people's comfort levels and take care of your own garbage, which are all kind of things that have come up or that people have expressed that are important to them, because this village is for all of us. And we have food that people have brought in, which is wonderful. There's been a lot of support in that way. And tents and sleeping space and just kind of space to maybe go and be private for a little while or hang out by yourself or have a rest or whatever you need to do. And then loads of sleeping stuff, sleeping bags and pillows and stuff for people who are staying here overnight.
You are listening to Radio Free School.
Yep. Still, state your line. Allahu Akbar. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين كفروا وصدوا عن سبيل الله أضل أعمالهم والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وآمنوا بما نزل على محمد وهو الحق من ربهم كفر عنهم سيئاتهم وأصلح بالهم ذلك بأن الذين كفروا اتبعوا الباطل وأن الذين آمنوا اتبعوا الحق من ربهم كذلك يضرب الله للناس أمثالهم فإذا لقيتم الذين كفروا فضرب الرقاب فإذا لقيتم الذين الذين كفروا فضرب الرقاب حتى إذا أثخنتموهم فشدوا الوثاق فإما منا بعد وإما فداء حتى تضع الحرب أوزارها ذلك ولم يشاء الله لانتصر منهم ولكن ليبلو بعضكم ببعض والذين قتلوا في سبيل الله فلن يضل أعمالهم سيهديهم ويصلح بالهم ويدخلهم الجنة عرفا لهم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تنصروا الله
I remember a few years ago the New York Times did a survey of high school students to see how much history they knew. And they do this, you know, every few years. They do a survey of young people to prove how dumb they are and to prove how smart are the givers of the tests. And so they gave this test to high school seniors and corroborated what they thought, that young people don't know anything about history. They asked questions like, who was the president during the War of 1812? Who was the president during the Mexican War? Please, I can see you thinking already. We're in a great quiz culture, and all you have to do is drop something. I'm sorry, that was a mistake. But a question like, what came first, the Homestead Act or the Civil Service Act? Well, you recognize questions like that because they're the questions that appear on tests which enable you to get into graduate school. Or you can go very far if you know enough of those answers. You will be Phi Beta Kappa. You will become an advisor to the President of the United States. Do you remember the book, The Best and the Brightest, which was precisely about that point, that the people surrounding the presidents who made the war in Vietnam were the brightest people. They were the people who got the highest scores. They were Phi Beta Kappa. And they were the architects of the war in Vietnam. But yes, there are important questions to be asked in history. But in order to do that, you have to start with a point of view so that you will ask those questions. The idea of having a point of view is not to have preconceived answers, to be willing to be open for the answer. But the important thing about having a point of view is to ask important questions. On the grounds that history is important, it's not a game of trivia. It's not a way simply to become a professional, to produce another generation of historians who will produce another generation of historians. We'll all reproduce ourselves as historians while the world passes us by and all sorts of things are going on. Of course, when you approach history that way with a point of view, it can be dangerous to your career. And people always wonder why it is that the textbooks repeat the same stories over and over again, or why history is taught the same way, or why the same set of facts are told over again, or why the same things are omitted over and over again. And the very repetition of those omissions, the very repetition of those points of view become persuasive in telling you, well, this must be the truth. If 7, 8, 10 generations of kids learned that Columbus was nothing but a marvelous adventurer and great navigator, a real professional. You know. And if everybody has been taught the same thing for 100 years, it must be true. And if you teach it in a different way, if you teach something that's been taught the same way, or if you write something that's been taught a certain way, and you deviate from that and you start to teach or to write something in a new way, well, that may be dangerous for your career. You may not even consciously think of it that way. You're not consciously selling out. It's just that in a society of economic hierarchy, in a society of economic insecurity, in a society where everybody is in some way insecure, middle class, working class, everybody's in a situation where somebody has power over them, power over their jobs, power over their tenure, power over their promotion, power over their salaries. In every such situation, there's always the thought, or even the unthought but felt need for safety. And safety results in teaching a certain kind of way, writing a certain kind of way, presenting the same set of ideas over and over again. That's safe. But I guess you can put it this way. I never wanted to practice safe history. Remember...
There is a war between the rich and poor, a war between the man and the woman. There is a war between the ones who say there is a war and the ones who say that there isn't. Why don't you come on back to the war? That's right, get in it. Why don't you come on back to the war? It's just beginning. Well, I live here with a woman and a child. The situation makes me kind of nervous. As I rise up from her arms, she says, I guess you call this love, I call it service. Why don't you come on back to the war? Don't be a tourist. Why don't you come on back to the war before it hurts us? Why don't you come on back to the war? Let's all get nervous. You cannot stand what I become. You much prefer the gentleman I was before. I was so easy to defeat, I was so easy to control, I didn't even know there was a war. Why don't you come on back to the war? Don't be embarrassed. Why don't you come on back to the war? You can still get married. A war between the rich and poor, a war between the man and the woman. There is a war between the left and right, a war between the black and white, a war between the odd and the even. Why don't you come on back to the war? Take up your tiny burden. Why don't you come on back to the war? Let's all get even. Why don't you come on back to the war? Can't you hear me speaking?
Myself in paper, I'm gonna daub myself with glue, stick some stamps on the top of my head, I'm gonna mail myself to you.
contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.